Let's read from chapter 22 over in the book of Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word. Speaking of the prophets now, God sending his prophet. And say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sittest upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor. And do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. For if ye do this thing indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house kings sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. But if ye will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus saith the Lord unto the king's house of Judah, thou art Gilead unto me, and the head of Lebanon. Yet surely I will make thee a wilderness and cities which were not inhabited, and I will prepare destroyers against thee, every one with his weapon, and they shall cut down thy choice cedars and cast them into the fire. And many nations shall pass by the city, and they shall say every man to his neighbor, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this great city? Then they shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God, and worshipped other gods and served them. Weep ye not for the dead, neither bemoan him, but weep so for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. For thus saith the Lord, touching Shalom, the son of Josias, king of Judah, which reigned instead of Josias, his father, which went forth out of this place, he shall not return thither any more. But he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive, and shall see this land no more. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work. That saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar, and painted with vermilion. Shall thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice, and then it was well with him? He judged the cause of the poor and needy, then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness, for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression and for violence to do it. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, ah, my brother, ah, ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, Lord, or ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the barrel of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go up to Lebanon and cry, and lift up thy voice in Bashan, and cry from the passages, for all thy lovers are destroyed. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou sayest, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. The wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shall thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. O inhabitant of Lebanon, that makest thy nest in the cedars, how gracious shall thou be when pains come upon thee, the pains as of a woman in travail. As I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. And I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy face, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out and thy mother that bare thee unto another country, where ye were not born, and there shall ye die. But to the land whereunto they desire to return, thither shall they not return. Is this man, Quaniah, a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his day Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the word of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I'll bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy in Baal and cause my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doeth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? I notice the words of the Lord here. He speaks of the cedars of Lebanon. And he's saying here that God is going to uproot, tear down, and move out those that are profane, from the king to the prophets. In Lebanon, of course, is where we're preaching the gospel right now by radio. And it was from Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon, that there came the timber to build God's house. And then he speaks of the man Quaniah. Quaniah, this is why that the lineage was changed when the time came for the birth of the Lord Jesus. And it came down through the seed as that Mary should receive the visitation. It was because one of the things was Quaniah. And though a promise was given to David that not one of his seed should fail to sit upon the throne, providing that they would do the thing the Lord had said, and through that seed would come the royal one, even Christ Jesus, because that was the royal seed as to priesthood or kings. But when this man Cornelius came, he interrupted the whole thing, and it was said, "Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man Charles, a man that shall not prosper in his ways, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah." So there was a breach that was put in there as to cause a problem, but the Lord just sidestepped it and went right on and brought the things of God to pass. The charge here against Jerusalem is because that the kings has taken the wage of the working man and used it for his own benefit, and now he rules by means of having taken the things of others. You know, this is a real typical thing today, as with the government. For the government that takes the people's money, they do not give the people anything in return. They just take everything that the people's got. They don't even give them decent highways or anything else. And they're always saying that they've got to cut down in some way so that they can balance the national budget. A letter there laying on my wife's desk, I noticed in the last day or two, coming from one of the great leaders that has been in the eras of the Social Security, to the extent that he's well learned, or she is, well learned with all these things, and gotten together about 1,200,000 people that is kind of bombarding the thing there in Senate when it comes to taking away the social benefits of people. And they have stopped two or three things by bringing about a repercussion, and has helped the situation. According to the letter that they wrote, if the things had been granted as to what president and what the Senate had put before Congress, then it would have been a sad situation for the people. But working together, they've been able to stop this. And it is a bad situation in the day we're living in as to the last days when people shall despise government. It's not hard to despise government when government becomes thieves and robbers, and they take everything that you've got. And all of your benefits they take away. They cause you to pay for benefits all of your life until time comes to get the benefits. And then all of a sudden they say that everything is bankrupt and there is nothing to pay you. And this is really causing a stir, because as I've said so many times, whether we believe it or not, there is no shortage of money. There is, as a rule, never any shortage of money, because all they have to do to print money is just run the machines. So they can have all the money they want, and they do have money. They don't have any shortage. I know that they can't just, or they could not, I'll put it like that, as of in the past, they could not just go and print up money, because to print more money brings inflation, and it makes money worthless. If you've got, I will say, as to $50 million in gold bullion, you print $50 million in paper money, and any time you print any more, then you excel that you have as your standards. And when you do that, then that means if you print $100 billion, when you've got $50 billion in gold, or as that has been in the past, your dollar is worth just half as much as it was before. And if you print another billion, then you bring it on down till after a while your dollar's worth hardly anything. And we had spoken of this a number of years ago, when they'd keep on till the dollar was worthless, and sure enough they did. They got down to where it was worthless. Gold has been something that, as a standard throughout the whole world, has been of great value, so they placed that as the wealth and security so that they could write dollar bills off of it. And years ago, you could take your money and get your gold or get your silver. You know, it was a silver certificate, or it was based on gold bullion. But now the money is worthless to the extent that they've written and they've stamped, and now it's a governmental note. It doesn't have any silver backing. It doesn't have any gold backing. It doesn't have anything. It's just a federal note. And now with these recessions and different things, we're beginning to learn what kind of problems that we've really got. And that the foreign countries have taken our dollars. Our dollars become worthless to them. And then they want to come in and take possession of their goods, because they then own America, because they have a lien, as you say, against our nation. And of course, our nation starts borrowing from insurance companies and borrowing from the papacy of Rome and borrowing from everything that it can. Now, what brings that about? It's brought about by one means, and that is the Bible said, as concerning Israel, if you will do the things that I tell you to do, he said, I will make you the head and not the tail, and ye shall lend to many nations, and ye shall not borrow. But if you do not the things that I tell you to do, then you're going to borrow from nations, and I'm going to make you the tail. So then Israel did exactly contrary to what God had asked him to do. So today they borrow. And they're constantly having to borrow. They can't survive as a nation unless somebody gives something to them. Like Germany just gave them a whole lot of stuff here just recently. See, and it's a continual thing. Why is that? Because as he said to Israel, he said, your priests commit fornication. He said, your kings take the wages of the laboring man and they keep the money. And as it was said, as to preachers or priests of that day said that you bring about tasks that's grievous to be borne and you wouldn't touch them with your little finger. And yet you subject people to these things that they should do it. And the Bible said, woe unto that man that is held back by fraud from them that have reaped down his fields. For the cry of these people have entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. And then God deals with that individual. And God does something to that individual because they are then a thief and a robber. So then what is the government today? Thieves and robbers. Whereas the Bible gives the parable where Jesus said, and the thief and the robber, they came by, they took the good man, they beat him, they took everything that he had, they throwed him into the ditch. He was wounded and bleeding, and there they left him, and not even the priest would offer a helping hand. So the good Samaritan came by and gave a helping hand as to pour the oil and the wine into the wound and put the man on his beast and take him down to the inn so that he would have a place to stay. And then told him, said, keep this man until I come for him. I'll pay all that he owes. So that's what it is today. Thieves and robbers in the government. Thieves and robbers in the law offices, thieves and robbers. I looked, Solomon said, and in the place of judgment of justice, he said, I found, as to the thief and the robber, I found corruption. And so then today, the people in all of these offices, they are thieves and they are robbers. And very rarely do you find one that is not a thief and a robber. Very rarely do you have a president raised up that's not a thief and a robber. Very rarely do you have a senator raised up that's not a thief and a robber, because everyone that is not born again, everyone that does not have God, everyone that does not acknowledge God in his office or recognize God in his activities is a thief and a robber. For the devil is a thief and a robber, and the Bible teaches that you are the image of the devil, and you are of your father the devil, and that Satan takes you into captivity at his will anytime he desires if you are of the carnal gender of the world and not of the spiritual new birth. And so then we know that we're under thieves and robbers. We know that that's what they are. They manipulate in every way. They pass laws in every way. They constantly set together and they have counsel with the regularity, and all of their counsel and everything that they plan to do is for one thing, and that's to subject you to the operation of their world of vanity, that they might rob you or take everything you've got so that they might ride upon the high places of the earth. But the Bible says, if you will acknowledge the Lord, then he'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. And when they come against you one way, he'll make them to flee before you seven ways. And I will give you the desires of your heart, and I will raise you up, and I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. And I will give you the blessings of life, and my blessings shall make you rich and add no sorrow. And then besides that, give us eternal life as to an eternal security. So then it's very evident that when we have the problems that we have, it's because of us. It is not because of God, because God's promises can't be altered, changed. It is because of us. And it is always down through the history of life. If there is a problem within the government, if there is a problem within the people's everyday living. If something happens to a city, then it's because of them. Can evil come to a city and I've not seen it, saith the Lord? And if you that are called by my name will confess your sins, forsake your sins, whatever you do will prosper. If you'll offer righteousness and you'll offer judgment and you'll do the things that please me, and if you'll live righteously according to my rules and regulations, all will be well with you. And the Bible said, I would that it would be well with you and with your children all the days of your life, that ye should follow me, do the things that I ask you to do, and I'll make it well with you all the days of your life. But if you cover your sins, and if you don't forsake your sins, then whatever you do will not prosper. And the Bible teaches that you will be like a byword. And he said here to these people, he said, and when this thing happens to your city, and when they're ravished and all of these things happen, then it will be said, why did God do this to this city? And they will say it's because he forsook the covenant of the Lord, or they forsook the covenant of the Lord, or the king forsook the covenant of the Lord, or these people went into corruption and they went into ungodliness. This is why that these things happen. So when we look overseas, what do we see? We see countries that are ravished. We see countries that are blown apart. We see people that are starving to death. We see mass murder in the Philippines. It is such a horrible, hideous thing. Chris has sent us some of the pictures of the massacres that we find in that country, even where people are trying to worship God. And the one picture, you remember, there was a man standing holding a head, had the hair in his hand, and the head had been severed from the body, and it was the pastor's head. And there laid the little children all mutilated, and these kind of things. Why did that evil come to that city? Because of their evil and because of their unrighteousness. They embraced the desire of evil, which was Lucifer. And when God brought the judgments upon Lucifer, then they had given him a hiding place or a place of operation. And so then the great judge of all the earth judged them to be an accessory after the fact. So then when these things happen, why does it happen? It is because you lust, and because of your covetousness, and because of your greed, and because of selfishness, and because of rebellion, and because of worldliness, and because of loving the world and the things of the world and going after the world and forsaking the covenant of the living God. And folks, it's not very far from happening to America. It's already, interiorly speaking, happening to America, but it's coming up time and coming a place when it's going to happen as to the aggression, as to those people attacking America. It's going to be that way. Just like Jimmy Carter, I understand that he has invited the leader of Russia over, since they've rejected him, and offered him a place to teach in your college here in Atlanta, Georgia. See, to bring him into the old tree of knowledge, what is that? He declared that he was atheistic. But nevertheless, he's been welcome into the country. Why is that? And we say that God is going to continue to bless us. You know, a lot of times we don't really know the reality of God, because we don't have to depend on God like a lot of people have had to depend on God for our daily bread. And so we don't really recognize God as the great, wonderful God that he really is. See, and we think, well, God doesn't see us when we do these things. And what does God care about what we do? And besides that, nobody knows where God's at, and God's not around. And then it is like Israel. As to whether God cared or not, here comes the prophet saying, thus saith the Lord. What was the prophet doing that for? Because he was with God. And he heard God's voice. And he got God's mind. And he understood God's plan. And he recognized how that God related to his people and how that the people should relate to God. Somebody would say, well, I know that was in the Old Testament, Brother Pike, but now in the day we're living in, we're modern folks, and this is a different situation. And besides that, you know, God, it's just not that way with God. No, that isn't what it is. In our day, it's just not that way with the prophets. There's people that's just not walking close enough to God to hear what God says and to understand what God wants and to know the plan of God to come to tell the people, just as I'm trying to do, to stand here before you tonight and tell you the judgments that you're headed for
and the horrible, hideous things that's going to happen to you because you have done the same thing that Israel has done.
When the Bible said, and these things that happened in that day happened for your admonition, that they should be admonishing unto you, and that you should acknowledge these, and but saying, seeing that you do these things, even though you knew that the judgment come upon these people for doing these things, yet you get the warning and you go right on and do these things anyway. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He said, you are a generation of vipers. So then where are we at today?
See, it's the body of the old serpent. All of their labor for their belly and for their mouth because their belly craves it of them.
And the only drive and motivation of life they have is to intermingle themselves with each other, whether they're married or not married. A bunch of adulterers, like he said, even the priests, even the preachers, even the leaders, whoever it might be, the deacons, the ladies in the church, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just an interwoven mingling thing. If they don't get with each other in the old beastly body, as to the passions, they've got to get with each other in their minds, and they've got to lust after each other as to the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. And these things, they're constantly doing it, or lusting after houses and land, automobiles and money, and whatever it might be in the world. They're constantly lust. The Bible said, know ye not that the spirit within you lusteth unto envy? But nevertheless, it is said, come out from among them and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. It is said unto you that you are to be a holy people and a godly people, and whosoever nameth the name of the Lord, it is said unto you that in naming the name of the Lord, that ye should bear the vessel of the Lord in cleanliness, in holiness, and in righteousness all the days of your life. And he that beareth the vessel of the Lord, let him be holy. So then it is said unto you that God is your God, as to the God of holiness and the God of righteousness. And I am the spirit of holiness, and ye should serve me in holiness and righteousness all the days of your life. When the strings of the as to the tongues of John the Baptist's father was loosened, he spoke in prophetical utterance and said, speaking as thus saith the Lord, and I, saith the Lord, have chosen that ye should serve me in holiness and in righteousness all the days of your life. And when Aaron went into the place of the holies of holies with the little bells jingling, it was holiness unto the Lord on the little mitre up here. And he had to be holy and had to be clean. And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, you still have to be holy. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. Holiness unto the Lord. You know, we don't even like to think about holiness as a people. We don't like for anybody to even number us with holiness. We'll say we're a church of God, or we are a Pentecostal, or we are whatever it might be, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic. But folks, let me tell you, I believe in the God of holiness. I believe that God is the spirit of holiness, and this wretched, evil generation that can't acknowledge holiness, they are pigs and dogs wallowing in the mire. And the reason that they don't want to acknowledge holiness, it's not because holiness is unclean and holiness is something that's low of caliber, but it is because they're dogs and they're swines, and they are like a swine. Put your pearl before him, he'll stick your snout in the slop, he'll trample over your pearl and turn and rend you. They don't have enough sense. They don't have enough understanding to know what holiness is. That's why I put holiness under the Lord across the gates out here. That's why all everybody from around the world, including the local authorities and everybody else, is trying to stamp this out, because they don't want holiness, because holiness is the great light of righteousness that will eradicate and move the filth from off of the face of the earth and move the vomit off of the table. So it's like a little article that somebody sent to me, perhaps James, Brother James Isaac. But anyway, I didn't get to look at it or scrutinize it, but it had about five or six great leaders, one of them the Israelite leaders, and then the leaders of the other country. And they were standing there kind of scratching their head or looking real puzzled. And there was a great big circle up here with a little line and three lines coming out from it that has to do with peace.
It's a peace symbol. And the writer was apparently trying to make get across a point or make a point, and he had them all looking at this thing, all of them together. They were standing there staring, and they was like this. They couldn't figure out what it was. See, they didn't even know what peace was. That when somebody suggests peace to them, the writer was trying to get it over that these men are so ignorant of peace, all they've ever known is a slaughter and kill, and they don't even know what peace is. They didn't even know what the symbol of peace was. And that's the way it is in the world today, folks. We've talked about religion, and we've done all kind of things, and been all kind of preaching, all kind of practices, but when it gets right down to salvation and real godly living, we don't even know what holiness is as a people. And Paul said, I say me to keep from saying you, that we don't even know what holiness is. We don't even know what God is. We don't even know as a people, as a whole, that God is the Spirit of holiness. And that the Bible said, without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord, because that's what God is the Spirit of holiness. And it doesn't matter if you're a church of God. What does that have to do with it? The Bible said you have a name that you live, but you're dead. It doesn't mean anything when you say you're Pentecostal, you're Catholic, you're Baptist, you're Methodist. You have a name that you live, but you're dead. See, what difference does that make? Are you holiness? Are you one with God? Do you worship the Spirit of holiness? Do you serve Him in holiness? Do you serve the God of holiness? Without holiness, there's no eternal life, because God is the Spirit of holiness, and holiness is eternal life. And without holiness, you don't have eternal life. Without holiness, you don't have any God, because there is no God but the Spirit of holiness. And God, the great Spirit of holiness, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Aaron went into the presence of God, he had to have holiness unto the Lord. Here in this place, when we meet each other, the salutation should be, when you meet Brother Taylor, holiness unto the Lord. They used to say, Heil Hitler. Heil Hitler. That was all they knew to do. The great super race. Every time they met somebody, Heil Hitler, before they say anything. But you know, they wasn't ashamed to do that. But we should be saying, holiness unto the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. We're God's people. That's the only God there is. So we're not ashamed of holiness. The Bible said, and without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And the Bible said we should serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And we're taught to follow in the steps of the Son of Holiness. So then, when we stop and consider, we find that the Lord said, love not the world. Love not the world. Well, I was riding along the other day, and Rick and some of them was looking around, and different ones, as to the boys and the wife and different ones. They was looking around, and people, just normally speaking, they admire the ocean and the trees and the birds, and they just get a love in here. You know, if I just had me a little ranch, if I just had me a limousine, if I just had me servants, if I just had me money in the bank, if I just was about 25 years old, you know, and if I felt like I had the strength of about 10 men, that, you know, if I just was like this, oh my, I'd have the world. See, but I was sitting there thinking, as I saw the different admiration, as to the Bible said, I flee from lustful youth. Get away from that. Don't despise your youth. Be an example of belief, but flee youthful lust. And sad to say, it's not always that way, just the youth, because there's so many people in the world, even elderly people, that have literally gone crazy with lust. And they're taking vitamins and everything else to where they can be in shape, to where they can lust the more. And the Bible said they've literally sold their children for a glass of wine. But anyway, as I was riding along and looking at this, and I was observing these things, I could hear the Lord saying to me all the time in this admiration that I could see as it dazzled before the eyes. And I could hear Jesus saying, son, love not the world. Love not the world. Love not the world. No matter where I went, mile after mile, I could still hear it ringing in my ears as all these things they admired. And I was talking about buying land and properties where, and a lot of times this is necessary, but nevertheless, I could hear him say, love not the world, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all is of this world is the lust of your eye as to the desire the word lust, desire, the lust of your eyes, the desire of your body, your mind, your flesh, a new car, a new house, land, money, all these kind of things, pretty faces and pretty forms and whatever it might be. He said, son, don't place your affection on the things of this world, as to the barely elements of this world. Don't do that. You're eternal. You're to live forever. Your treasures are eternal. They're heavenly. This is nothing but lying vanities and the enticement of Lucifer, the god of this world. And he's trying to get these bodies so that he can subdue the spirit on the inside. Live in these bodies. Give them this financial security, which I've already given to you, all things that pertain unto life. And all these things are already yours. And all I've asked you to do is stay away from the devil. Stay away from the spirit of lust and this perverted nature of Satan. Which all he's doing is getting into you and your body. Paul said, within the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And he is taking what is already yours, and he's perverting it and contaminating it because of the fall, and in using your ego as to this nerve system that's to record this tangible side of life. He said, and he is stimulating your nerves to an overdriven thing or an overtemperate thing, that he might get you to take hold of these beggarly elements of the world so that he can live in you through this desire and stimulation of the flesh and master you and have your body to be God, to control this world and to live in the temple that God made for himself, and not with the abundance of life as to God dwelling within, but as to the spirit that judgment is upon unto death and the sorrow and unto sickness and unto poverty. And of course, that's where it all comes from. And constantly you're educated to the sin. Your little children are driven by the devil through the law. That's the carnal mind, driven by the devil through the law, to make your children to go to school. That's what it's all about, to get them to the tree of knowledge, to where he can ensure himself as to having a good dowry or a good harvest in the time he reaps the next generation. So that's where it's at today. But the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God, but didn't go about seeking to make of himself some reputation as to get into the upper echelon, or to be some wise person as to some great philosopher or some celebrity or something that would be a dignitary of the world. He didn't try to do that, but he humbled himself as to a man, and that to the passions of death, and gave himself for you. And the Bible said, likewise, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due season. For everyone that exalteth himself through the intellectual knowledge that puffeth up, I shall abase him. And every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be plucked up. But them that humble themselves, I will magnify them. He said, because kings and princes and great rulers rule by me. I lift up one and I put down another. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. I have my way in the good and evil, and I rule in the affairs of mankind. So, just a little bit of exhortation tonight has to point out to you that the secret of this whole thing is that we are not, as I said to someone today, we are not trying to incorporate God into our lifestyle and say, well, God, we've got ambitions. We want to preach. We want to do this and we want to do thus and on and on and on. See, I hear God saying, son, I have a program. I have a plan. I've had it from the foundation of the world, and it's for the benefit of all. And this plan must go forth. And you don't know what you're going to do in the future. Neither do you know what the future holds. Don't say, I'm going to do thus and thus, unless you say, the Lord being willing, I will do thus and thus. Don't take any thought for tomorrow, for you can't bring forth one good day or bad day. You can't even add an inch, a cubit, to your stature. You can't do that. You can't make one hair white nor black. And if you can't do these things that are least, why take thought for the rest? For the evil is sufficient unto the day thereof as to tomorrow. He said, and you don't know what you're going to do. Like I was telling them down here, we have to put up some fence work down here in the annex building. I didn't know that we were going to have to put the fence work up. But I was trying to acknowledge God. I was trying to follow God. I was trying to do what God wanted. I was praying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done, not my desire, Lord. I'm not planning vacations and something that I can, spend a life of lethargy at. Or I'm not trying to get out into the world to do my thing as the vacation or to relax, as somebody said. I just want your will to be done. And God, knowing that I had to have this for the program that he had outlined as to the blueprint that he gave Moses when Moses was up in the mountain with him. So then he provided a great, great lot of wire, roll after roll of industrial wire. And when I got ready to do this thing down here, there it was laying right there. He had already provided it because I was following him and following in his step. And this was his program, and this was his plan. And folks, when I come here to talk to you, that's the same thing that I do. That's the way that I am. I don't pre-read the word to plan anything or to mark anything or know where I'm going to get my text or to know where I'm going to read from. And I have no objections to the people that do that. But the thing is, it's just not my way, because I've learned to walk in the Spirit, and I've learned to try to do what he wants, so I'm following his thoughts and his desire and his will, saying, Father, not my will be done, but thy will, that God might do what he wants to do and say what he wants to do, and that God might use my body and that I might be led of the Spirit of God, that all of these foolish, childish ambitions that I don't get entangled with. And then as he has his blueprint and he has his program, it's laid out there before me as the mind of Christ, as I conceive of this mind and these things. I try to stay out of my natural ambition, lest I be like the Jews that in their zeal going about to establish their own righteousness, trying to set up their own doctrinal ways of government, that they ran right headlong into the Lord. And the Bible said, not understanding the righteousness of God through their foolishness, they went about to establish their own righteousness and stumble at the righteousness of Christ as to the plan of God, which is by faith, which plan God was bringing all the time and trying to tutor them under this plan. But they did the thing that they wanted to, and it become a money-making machine, and it become a thing that was valuable to the priest. And the first news you know, it was, as we read it here concerning Coniah and the kings, they were taking the people's money, and as it was back in the days of Samuel and in the days of Saul, it was back there in the days of Eli, that Eli did the very same thing and his children did the very same thing. And then we come along as a people and we fall into the very same trap. See, and Samuel was raised up against that and to condemn that as one that heard the voice of the Lord, that followed the voice of the Lord. As it was in the days of Moses, Aaron was doing that very same thing. Out of the pressure of the people, the people wanted to magnify him like they wanted to magnify Jesus. And Jesus said, you don't want to magnify me because of the miracles. You don't want to magnify me because you recognize that I'm God, because they didn't recognize it. But because I fed you the fishes and the loaves and you didn't have to work for a living. You just follow me and I feed you. That's why you want to do that, for the fishes and the loaves. And see, that's the way America is. They don't worship God. They don't lift up God. Look at America. America, one time we was in God we trust. Where is that now? They don't even want it on the money anymore. It was in our schools that they would say, we pray in the morning and we teach you about God. It was with Abraham Lincoln, the great, wonderful leader of America. It was that Abe Lincoln set forth the day that was called the Day of Humiliation, as to humbling ourselves, as to a thanksgiving, to worship before God, and put in there to fast and to pray, to humble ourselves, as a day of humiliation, it stated. See, and that was the way that we were to give thanks, that he felt that we should give to God concerning this blessed land of America. Now, but what about America? Beautiful America, the land of God. How can that be? It's just like I heard, as it was last night, I believe it was last night, somebody was telling me that over in Russia, here a group goes from America over to Russia. They send a Russian plane to pick them up. They take them over. They send them back to America by the Russian plane. They let them into the schools. They let them teach over there. And this is, I've got two or three reports from different people in the last few months on these very things. And there in the school, the interpreter wanted to be saved. And then it went through the school, and they said all of the school was down on their knees and their hands lifted up to God as to the children and whoever, begging God to save them. And they took their Bibles and said they embraced their Bibles and pressed them to their breasts like this. See, and that is what we call the heathen. So then who is the heathen? We don't want it in our school, but the whole school gets converted there. We don't want it over here. We want to change the Bible and break it down into some hideous nightmare of what we call the revised versions of things and do away with the real Word of God until there's nothing left as to the inspired Word of God. And we don't want God in our government. You can't pray. You can't do anything. But over there in the land of the heathens, what are they doing? Folks, what it is, it's the end of the world. See, America had to do with the New World. That's what they called it when they come in here and establish it. Now we're coming to the end of the New World. And because of that, then it's going back to the foreign countries, just like I said. And I said, when Russia comes out, and she will, it'll be the resurrection of the dead coming in. It'll be that last stride of the way. And so then now America don't want God. Why? She's got fat, she's got sassy, she's got lazy, she's got lustful, she's got educated, she's got high-minded, she does her own thing, she's like Nebuchadnezzar, she's independent, she's going around looking at these things through eyes of science, knowledge falsely so-called, saying, look what I've done, look at our great ships, look at the desert storm, the way we defeated them, look at our technology, and right now, the hand is writing on the wall, meeny, meeny, tickle, tickle, you farsome. Thou art weighed the balances and found wanting. And just like that, when the old king's joints come loose and his knees begin to knock. The Bible said his joints literally come loose and his knees begin to flop and knock like that until he called for the man of God and called for Daniel. And when Daniel told him, told Nebuchadnezzar, told his children, told the following leaders of his day, said, I told you these things when God spoke to me and you did not heed these things, and now look at your condition as to what your grandfather done. Look what happened to him. Your father done. Look what happened to him. And now you come along into this son. Now look what happens to you. And there it was. See, that's where America is. What is America? America the beautiful? Absolutely not. Babylon the corrupt. That's what she is. Somebody says, would you talk about our lovely America like that? I certainly would not, because there is no more America. There is no more America the beautiful. There is no more America the great, wonderful God country. This is an overrun, heathenistic country of devils and demons, and it's literally filled with the beast of the world, with their vomit and with their corruption, and they're wallowing in their own mire. Ride down the road and you can't take a decent little girl, a boy down the road without some filthy signboard. You can't let them go into the restroom without the dirty filth that I've got so upset with that I've actually took. I know this don't sound right, but I've actually took a bottle of spray paint and spray over the whole thing. Because I'd be so upset with the dirty, filthy things that was there because of the little ones going in and out. And the whole world is that way. Movies, television, doesn't matter. You can pipe that from the devil's den right into your own private little place. They sell you whiskey because they are a Babylon nation. They sell you whiskey, they let you gamble, they let you do whatever you want to. They sell you whiskey and then they put you in prison or they put you in the electric chair when trouble comes about or death comes about. But they don't do away with the whiskey, and they don't do away with the taxes, and they don't do away with the bottle. When the Bible said, cursed is the man that putteth the bottle to his neighbor's lip. He's guilty of blood. They're the one that's guilty of blood. Like I told the police over here in Athens, Georgia, when we had it out over there, they picked up some youth, and I was having it out with them. And they reared back with their badges and their guns on their side. And they said, if the parents can't handle them, we can. I said, yes, you can. I said, run around with your badges and your guns stuck on your side. I said, and protect these devils that's giving them whiskey out here out of these joints and you stand up for them and you protect them and nobody can bother them. I said, and then you take parents' children when they've tried to raise them right and expose them to these things where they don't understand. I said, and then they get these things and they go out there and then the billy sticks and all these other things. You go out there and I expressed the bullies that they were and they didn't like it at all, but they shut their mouths and they didn't have anything else to say. I said, that's where the problem is. It's not the parents. See, and I'm not upset when I say that. Only to this extent, Jesus was angry because of the hardness of their heart. They've done the same thing in the churches. And they've sold their children for a bottle of wine. And Jesus turned over the money tables and whatever as to make the house of God a den of thieves. And the Bible said that they become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird, which means devil spirits. And they've driven out the people that love God. And Jesus said, this is the house of prayer, my Father's house. And you've made it a den of thieves. Of devils, and the devil's the den of thieves, a thief and a robber, come but to steal and to kill and to take away. But anyway, this is the world. They say, let the man drink his whiskey in his own house. Let him close his door and let him sit there and drink his whiskey. That's his house. But folks, why is it he can't drink his whiskey in his car and drive down the road? That's his car. Because they're afraid that he might run over them. And while they drink their booze, they might meet head on. See, that's where the problem is. Now, but in the house, you can drink it. It don't matter if you beat grandmother or mother, or if you ravish your own little daughter. It doesn't matter if you blow your own little son's brains out, or the little son gets drunk and blows your brains out. Oh, they'll get you. Somebody says, but you've got protection. If that happens, we'll get them and put them in jail. But if that be true, why don't they let them go ahead and do what they want to in the car? And when they kill the people, just take them and put them in jail. What's the difference? See, if they're going to stop the whiskey in the car before the calamity, why don't they stop it in the home before the calamity? See, that's the thing. At least on the road, you have got patrolmen's out there. In the home, you don't have anything. There has been years of sorrow and disaster and calamities befalling homes before anything was ever found out about the dirty low-down doings of the daddies and the mothers and the little children and these things that's ravished and ruined, just ungodly things that, you know, the average man would blow a man's brains out that quick for things like that. Would do it. So, of course, if we preached on and on and on, we'd have to tell again of the Babylon. Folks, it's nothing but the modern Babylon. And that's what it has to do with Jimmy Carter. We could say a lot of things that pertains to the lifestyles of men, the government, the corruption, and the present day truth as to the things that are happening calendar-wise, that's happening internationally, or things that's happening politically, or things that are happening locally, as in your own family. See right now, many, many multiplied things that we could say. But the thing is, these things are just a little bit of speculation of life and a little bit of exhortation for those people that are listening around the world that really doesn't know anything about spiritual things. And this is the only means of communication as to relating to them as to something that they intellectually can define as to understanding. So with this, we're going to try to close right here. I'd like for you to keep it in mind tonight that the time is close at hand and things are happening. Even as this thing that's happening to Sister Beachy, she has seemingly survived two operations thus far, and a death is on her trail. I told Betty, I said, death is stalking her. And I've watched numbers of times when people would be in excellent condition, and yet the Lord would reveal to me that death was going to begin to stalk them. And as death comes in, death is a powerful thing and a strength that nobody can resist except Christ. Nobody can conquer, because at death, the Bible said, no man can retain the spirit at death. When death comes, there's no way that you can persevere and keep the spirit. It's gone like that. See, nobody hath power except Christ and they that are the saints of God. And when death starts stalking an individual,
I watched it many times. That individual can be healthy, but something will happen. And then before the individual can get their balance, something else will happen. And then something else will happen. And then something else will happen. And after a while, death has got its prey and gone. Got its prey and gone. I've told this a number of times to the man that went to set up with his brother when he's sick. Brother was in a dying condition. And as he sat there, he fell off into a sleep. And there was a hole apparently in the window that there was a pane missing while he was there in the sleep. Instead of sleep, it obviously was a trance. And he went into the trance, and he was there like as in a sleep, and all of a sudden he saw a miniature-type creature come in at the broken pane. As it came into the room, and when it came into the room, it began to move over toward the bed, and about that time he looked in the vision, and the soul of the individual as to his brother laying there on the bed, the soul jumped out of his chest, as it was told, and began to run around the room, and this thing began to run around the room after it. And as it run, as to screaming and whatever, this thing was right after it until finally closing on it and it got it. And out the window it went, and the man come out of the trance to find his brother dead. See, his brother was a sinner. And this man, I believe, was a Christian. So I only said that to say this, that when death starts stalking its prey, it will get you. Unless there's a great phenomenal thing. I told my wife, I said, Betty, death is stalking Sister Beachy. I said, I know they said it's a headache, but when they get her up there, it's going to be different. And when they got her there, they found it was different, and they found out it was death stalking her, and they put her in intensive care. And then I began to pray to try to find out what would happen. And from what I understood, I saw three things come before me, and it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as to a revelational thing. I saw it as it began to come before me. And as it began to come before me, I began to realize that the Lord was telling me something. And I saw everything go as to Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and it was all well. And then I made the statement, I said, the danger that I see is after the operation. So, sure enough, there has been a problem here. And then she had to go back for another scan, and they put her in, I guess, intensive care again, I don't know. But they brought her out, but she has survived from what I understand. She survived the operation and still is holding on. Now, as I said, when death starts stalking somebody, it is a terrible circumstance. Like when I saw it start stalking Zale Carnes. I remember so well, and I thought, Lord, he's going to go through that operation all right from what I can understand. But after that, I felt like the man was going to go out to meet God, and he did. And the thing is, though he was a healthy, well man, seemingly nothing wrong with him. But the thing is, wherever Satan finds out that he can get to you, as to say, your days are numbered. You've done the wrong thing. You went too far. You wouldn't listen. Being often reproved, and you hardened your heart and stiffened your neck, and now you'll be destroyed. Suddenly, and that without a remedy. See, and these things happen. And when death gets its leave to stalk you, it's going after you. And as it does, see, it depends on what you've done in your former life. It depends on what you did in your youth. It depends on what you've done in the past as to how long you're going to live. The Bible said if you would see long life and good years, refrain your tongue from your gossip and backbiting and saying things about the brothers and sisters and saying things about God's people and always mumbling and grumbling as it was against Moses or the leaders or the pastors, finding fault because of your childish thing of to your own satisfaction of your flesh and your family. Stop that foolishness. Stay away from the wrong places. Quit manipulating and cutting corners to watch things on television that's non-virtuous, or to listen to things on the radio when they're non-virtuous, or to read magazines, or to look at signboards, or to have conversations, or to lust after human forms and figures and faces, and to desire and to think on these things. Stop that and get into the Spirit of God, because every time you do it, you're shortening your days. And if you would see long life, refrain your tongue from speaking evil. Don't let it speak any guile. I would that you and your children would serve me, that it might be well with you and your children all the days of your life. And this is the thing that we're talking to you about tonight, is lengthening your life.
lengthening, add days to your life, and that days is to give to God that you may lay up treasures in heaven. That when you do stand before God, you know you have lived a good life, a long life, and God has fulfilled the number of your years, and that your strength has been according to your day, and you've not been weak and run down, but you have been strong in God and able to go on and make the declaration of God as to the righteousness and holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in these things I exhort you that ye should do this, because the eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth, and they are beholding the good and the evil, going to and fro in the earth, seeking for the upright in heart, that he may show himself strong in your behalf. All right, let's stand together. How many times have I exhorted you, talked with you, or said these things by way of remembrance? I know that many of you know these things, but Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I still feel that I should stir up your pure minds in Christ Jesus. And of course, your pure mind is the mind of Christ. That's your pure mind. When we come together to sing, to worship the Lord, it is for your benefit that we should sing and worship the Lord in song and worship the Lord in spirit, to worship the Lord by entering into his gates with thanksgiving and coming into his courts with praise. The Bible said, when as you ought to be teachers, you have need that you be taught. This is the beginning of the principles of the oracles of God. Let us go on to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, and to the full reward that we should go on to do these things that the Lord would have us to do. Please pray over the bottle of oil. They sent up a bottle of oil a few nights ago, according to this, and they wanted me to pray over it, and I'm glad they reminded me, because when I came in tonight, it came to me that I should pray over this bottle of oil. Just stretch out your hands up here toward us. A lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, this is foolishness, a bottle of oil. Don't you agree that that's foolishness? I certainly do. That's what it is. The Bible says that God has chose the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. It was foolishness to the carnal mind. When he took a mud patty and he put it over the eyes, and when he spit and made the clay out of the spittle. But it confounded the intellectual Pharisees. And he's doing the same thing today, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible says that the things of God, they're foolishness to the natural man and the natural mind. He cannot know them because they're foolishness to him. So then, having chosen the foolish and the base things of the world, he said, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. But to us that are spiritual, we know that this olive oil is a symbol of the Spirit, that at the midnight cry they had the Holy Spirit. The virgins had oil in their lamp. And this is symbolic of that wonderful Holy Spirit. And as in the Spirit, so in the world, as to a natural type or a parallel. And when we pray as to wherever this would go, that it be some natural thing that somebody would acknowledge as coming from the saints of God, to give them a relation or to make them feel related to the saints of God in their prayer, as to the same as laying on of hands, or as something that emanated from the church. So they have to have some natural thing, just like you do. Someone just said, well, I don't need any natural thing. Well, why do you come to listen to my natural tones of utterance? Why do you come to a natural building and sit on a natural seat? It could be that you could just sit on the ground, not have a seat, not have a church, but you'd still be. Someone said, well, I couldn't do that. They do it overseas, but it would still be something natural. Father of heaven, we thank you for your wonderful saints, Father. And indeed, there are saints of God that are in the world, that are spotless, that are holy, that are godly. And right at this time, I know that they're interwoven as with the beast of this world. Father, who are sons of Satan that have come to spot our liberty. And I realize that, O Lord. But dear wonderful God, as to the precious saints of God, as they lift their hands toward this bottle of oil and toward me, Father, and as it would be to heaven, it was as in the days of Solomon that you said, anyone God that looks toward this temple that has been built. I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their lands if they call on my name. And Father, we know that temple was symbolic of your Son Jesus as to the heavenly tabernacle in which you dwelt. And Heavenly Father, the members of His body, even the church, that in this body in which you still dwell, and those that look toward the real true church, the true body of Jesus Christ, and those that call upon your name, you said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord should be saved. And Heavenly Father, as we call upon the name of the Lord, we lift this bottle of oil up before you as a symbol of a great eternal spirit. And dear wonderful God, as a point of contact with them that are out in the world, even as the handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from Paul's body, his body having been anointed, oh Lord, even as the bones of Elisha, Father, when they were set on fire by your Spirit, that when a dead man touched those bones, he was resurrected. As fire shut up in our bones, Heavenly Father, even as the ground was made holy, the dust of the earth, Heavenly Father, so has our bodies been made holy, that we should be holy in body and in spirit as to the very fibers of our body. And this glory to be made manifest as the wisdom of God shining within our very countenance to make our faces to shine, even the illumination of the great light of Moses and that of Jesus that appeared in glory and of great men today. Heavenly Father, we pray over this bottle of oil, asking you to anoint it even as you anointed the little stick that Moses had in his hand, and as you anointed the earth, and in that you are the anointing Father. And Lord, even as you have anointed us as a minister, oh God, feel that anointing right now. Anoint this oil. God, make the ground wherein we stand holy. Make the oil holy. Make our bodies holy. Oh God, and let this go out, Lord, as something between us and those, dear God, to whom it goes, as to the prayer of faith, that it may save the sick. And Heavenly Father, if they've committed any sins, that it may be forgiven them. We ask this by the power of the Holy Ghost, your great Holy Spirit, and in the name of your precious, darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing a little chorus together.
Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, precious Savior, sweep over my soul.
The altars are open as you say.
I've anchored my soul. God's haven of rest, and I will sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest that may scream out over the wild storm it be, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. I need Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. So don't turn Him away. So don't
turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your hearts once again. All that Jesus sent to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Come to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and oh, turn him away. What can I give him of all he has given? Oh, what can I offer the Lord? I don't have riches or a mansion or a palace. Oh, what can I offer the Lord?
Have you ever asked the question, what can I give to God? He's given us everything, everything. And anything that we give back to him, it already belongs to him. But there's one thing that you have that belongs to you, and that is your heart. As a sovereignty to decide whether or not you want to share your heart with God, that is your sovereignty. And this you have of your own that you can share with the Lord. Tonight as we sing, let's just worship the Lord together. Sing another little chorus together, Brother Taylor.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find him not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, he's passing by this moment. Needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait.
One more time.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait.
Let's lift our hands up together. Let's just worship the Lord just for a few moments. We'll let you go. And I want to praise Him. I want to praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let me give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood that's washed away every stain. While we're standing here together, let's just lift our hands up. Let's close our eyes. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. And tonight, I remind you once again, in the latter times, many shall depart from the Holy Scriptures with all kind of revised versions of the Bible ideology, listening to some heady, high-minded person that's got some little degree from some professor or somebody with a brainstorm or somebody that's done a little historical research. How foolish, how foolish, how foolish. Subjecting themselves to lean upon the arm of flesh and to go down to listen to intellectual reasoning and take some papers of diplomacy, measuring themselves by themselves. They're not wise. And with this, they lose out with God. Folks, don't let it be like that. Put your faith in God. Believe in God. Trust in the Lord. Don't go down into the world as to Egypt for your help. There's nothing but vanity out there. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And when I say that, that sounds like words. But you can't imagine what there is in store for you. For I have never seen, never from the beginning of the foundation of the world, and never will be seen even under the consummation. And eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and never at any time has it ever entered into the heart of mankind the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. And yet He hath revealed it unto us by His Spirit, making it known unto us by revelation, even revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn. So then, while you're standing here with us, standing here thinking about Jesus, let's submit our spirits to the great loving Holy Spirit. Let's submit our bodies to God as to the temple of God, to be holy in body and in spirit. Let's submit our minds as to let the mind of Christ be within us, until every thought is brought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's nothing left of our human ego and our human imagination, that we might be the bodily temple of the great eternal Spirit, that He in His fullness should dwell in us, that we should be filled with His fullness, not just the measure, but as with the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have this wonderful eternal preservation, this eternal royalty, this eternal strength, this eternal health that you're going to have, and this eternal happiness that's given to you in Christ Jesus, that ye should have it. God wants you to have it, and that ye should never suffer again and never have pain again, never have misery again, never have sorrow again. Never at any time should you ever have these problems again. Never, never. No poverty, no problems. You'll never, never die. Never die. This is so wonderful. While your hands are lifted up and your eyes are closed and we're thinking about the Lord, I wonder if Dale would come up and dismiss us if he feels like it. And while Dale is coming, then stop just long enough to consider and think about the wonderful things of God.
and think about what God is doing for you. Just stop and think about it. Think about how great and mighty you are in the things of God. As we preach the gospel to you, as Dale goes forth preaching to people, I go forth preaching to people, telling them about the glad tidings of great joy. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. The wonderful things that we, and yet not we but God, tells you about this great, wonderful eternal life and this wonderful salvation. What a privilege, folks. What a privilege. You can't imagine. Just think, what if you was a beast? What if you are not one of the predestinated? Whereas the Bible said, make your calling and election sure by doing these things. If you can do these things, there's no way you can fall because you're elect. And what if you were a beast? Or what if you are a beast? Just think, no hope of eternal life. No way to ever have eternal life. Because God foresaw and foreknew the wretched way that you would be and the way that you would think, and saw your end from the beginning as to destruction and being ordained unto condemnation and not unto the wonderful life of God and the wonderful things of God that those are ordained unto as to the believer. And as many as were ordained unto eternal life when Paul preached the gospel, the Bible said, and these believed, and the other did not believe. So tonight, if you're ordained unto eternal life, you can tell it, rejoice, be glad for the great privilege that you're eternal and that you're going to be manifested one of these days as sons and daughters of God without any more problems.